Welcome to the podcast service of the Massachusetts Climate Action Network. Visit us online at massclimateaction.net or friend us on Facebook.
Hi, and welcome to the Climate Minute, your source for insight and perspective on global warming news. My name is Ted McIntyre, and this show is for the week of Bastille Day, July 14th, 2016. Mm-hmm. You know, when they broke into the Bastille, they only found 7 prisoners.
Yes.
Can you believe that? After all that fall to all, changing the course of history. Anyway, Bastille Day today. We're joined by a man who can only be described as being straight as a razor and steady like a train, our good friend, Mr. D.R. Tucker. How are you doing, D.R.?
Good. And speaking of Bastille Day, obviously, we'd like to start by sending out our condolences to those who were killed and injured in the, I guess, the apparent terrorist attack in Nice, France, on Bastille Day. From the story I heard, at least 75 have perished. Tragedy. We talk about you know terrorism in a world that's changing and warming and what have you. And this is obviously, you know, again, a sad situation. Yeah. Our hearts go out to them.
Was some guy driving a truck into a fireworks parade or something?
Yes. Oh, just bizarre. Oh,
our hearts go out to the French people who are. I don't know. We can only wish them well. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Well, DR, back here in Massachusetts, we have, even though it's the middle of summer, hot, humid day today, we are in a hot fight over something called the Omnibus Energy Bill. And what branches out of the Omnibus Energy Bill is a discussion about whether or not electricity ratepayers here in the state should pay for the construction of a natural gas pipeline to fuel the electricity plants.
Mm-hmm.
And that further sprinkles down or splinters down into local opposition to actual pipelines that are being proposed for construction, huh?
Yes.
Tell me, what's the latest on pipeline opposition?
This weekend is continuing with a People Over Pipelines March, which is taking place along the route of the proposed Spectra pipeline.
Uh-huh.
It's started in Medway and it's going to continue through Norfolk, Walpole, Sharon, Stoughton, Canton, Norwood, Dedham, and West Roxbury, and head to the State House on July the 17th, followed by a day of lobbying and action at the State House trying to encourage legislators to make sure that there is no tax, you know, stuck onto taxpayers to pay for new pipelines, and to basically make it clear that we don't need any of this new stuff. We need clean energy, not dirty, fracked gas.
So I guess the point being that this is a march that's probably, 30 or 40 miles, 10 or so miles a day from the outskirts of Boston into downtown Boston. It's sponsored by people like 350 MA and Mass Power Forward, of which MCAN is a member. And if people wanted to take part in this march, they could. They can show up. They can sign up at, Google People Over Pipelines, and you get to the sign-up page, right? You can donate. You can do all kinds of stuff and follow what's going on.
Yes. They're expecting at least 300 to 450 people. I would anticipate that there will be a lot more.
Wow. Thursday, July 14th, or the 15th, they march from Sharon into Stoughton and Canton, Norwood. And on the Saturday, the 16th, they head into West Roxbury. Now, in West Roxbury, there's something called the West Roxbury Lateral Pipeline. And from what I've heard, I don't have a lot of details, but that pipeline, the opposition to that pipeline has been quite pointed, with arrests on a regular basis, peaceful civil disobedience, and it is just churning away. I mean, the Spectre people are having a tough time building that pipeline because of the continuous, flow of people who were willing to be arrested to stop it, huh?
Exactly, and a lot of courageous people are willing to get arrested to make a point about the collateral damage that will be caused by the lateral pipeline.
Yes. I mean, without naming names, I would say our friend Vanessa Rule, I think, was one of the people that recently got arrested, but we talked to Chuck Collins a few weeks ago about it. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's lots of people. I have another friend who was arrested there a few weeks ago. It's up close and personal. Mm-hmm. But then on Sunday the 17th, they'll be walking from West Roxbury into past Ruggles Station at 2 p.m. There's a rally at Ruggles Station. If you can get there, mm-hmm. that's a good way to jump on the bandwagon, so to speak. Then they're going to march to the State House. And then, in fact, on Monday, they're going to go try to talk to the governor, I guess.
Yes.
Oh, interesting. And all of this is, I mean, this is a protest against the pipelines in the abstract, but also is an effort to convince lawmakers that they should adopt the Senate version of the omnibus bill, which mm-hmm. has within it a provision to prevent the utilities from collecting fees that they would then, the utilities would then pass to Spectra in order to build the pipeline. And
exactly.
So if you're in the sound of my voice and you're living in Massachusetts, you should call your state senator or representative. There's a link on the MCAN Facebook pages to find out who your rep or state senator is and tell them mm-hmm. that you want basically the Senate bill. The Senate bill has all the good stuff in it. It's got the prohibition against the pipeline tax. It has the 2 gigawatts of wind energy. It has the 2% per year increase in the renewable portfolio standard. All good stuff. So mm-hmm. there you go. Yeah, the pipelines are, I mean, this past weekend, DRI was down in a little town called Acushnet. Acushnet, Massachusetts, which is down in the south coast. And it turns out down there, I mean, it's a small town, but Spectra is proposing to build at least 2 enormous liquefied natural gas plants, which, of course, is something like 600 times denser than the gas that flows through through the other gas, through standard pipelines, right? This is liquefied mm-hmm. stuff. It's been compressed. And, of course, you have to look at it and say, this little town is on the edge of the water right near New Bedford, which is a deepwater port, and they want to export that natural gas out into the rest of the world. So mm-hmm. just keep in mind, when you pay your utility bill tax to build the pipeline, the ultimate thing that's going to happen is that pipeline is going to fund an export program to the benefit of Spectra Energies, mm-hmm. which is an outrage, right?
And it's interesting that the lobbying day is going to take place on the 18th. At the beginning of a week, we're expected to have record high temperatures nationwide caused by the very same pipelines and dirty energy that these protesters are raising an issue with.
And I saw something. I mean, it's a commonplace among climate hawks. But the statement is that if you are under 30. You have never experienced a monthly average global temperature that was below average. Mm-hmm. That is to say, for the last 30 years, every month has been above average. Mm-hmm. And that the last, 10 or 15 years have all been on this rolling upward average of temperature. I mean, it's pretty stark and pretty clear what's going on.
Exactly.
So there's the pipeline stuff. Mm-hmm. I guess the other interesting, perhaps a hopeful sign is the following. This has to do with, we're going to switch from tiny little places like Acushnet to the global view. Mm-hmm. Most of the people who listen to this podcast, in fact, most climate hawks in general, know that last December, in Paris, there was the Paris Agreement, right? This is the profound mm-hmm. landmark agreement that is going to provide the framework for the world to fight climate change. Well, mm-hmm. that Paris Agreement was signed under the auspices of something called the United Nations Framework Convention for Climate Change, the UNFCCC, mm-hmm. which is quite a mouthful. That's a heck of mm-hmm. an acronym. But anyway, the person who was in charge of that, the UNFCCC, and by implication, who was in charge of making sure that the Paris Agreement came to fruition, was a woman named Cristiana Figueroa. Did I get that right?
Figueres.
I'm sorry, Figueres. Cristiana Figueres. Mm-hmm. And so tell me, DR, what is the latest news with Cristiana Figueres after her triumph in Paris?
She is now on the short list to become the new Secretary General of the United Nations. She's one of a number of finalists, and the other finalists involved are Helen Clark, the former Prime Minister of New Zealand, Antonio Guterres, the former Prime Minister of Portugal, and Vesna Pusic, the former Prime Minister of Croatia. But she's widely expected to be the person who will become the actual next Secretary General of the UN. And it will be very, very interesting to see how she does in that position and see how she will lead. Obviously, you know, the role of the UN becomes it becomes infinitely more important as we're facing, you know, the third consecutive year, hottest year on record. It'll be interesting to see how she addresses issues involving, you know, the whole Brexit controversy. It'll just be, you know, a great thing to have an undisputed climate hawk in that position.
I mean, I agree. I mean, it is up there, perhaps not quite as consequential as having Pope Francis be a sort of a climate hawk, but to have the head of the UN be someone who is so intimately familiar and branded by the climate crisis, to have her mm-hmm. in charge of the United Nations would be quite a thing, would be telling,
yes,
wouldn't it?
Definitely.
We certainly wish her the best, and we would vote for her if we could.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not in the United Nations, although
nope.
Maybe we can. I don't want to secede from the United States and vote and join the United Nations. I kind of like it here. But somehow, it'd be great if Cristiana Figueres could become this Secretary General.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
So DR, there you go. That's the good news. And the last thing that I wanted to touch on was the something that's cool, really cool idea. We all know about solar panels, right? Solar panels are things that you put on your roof, typically, and they convert sunlight into electricity, and they're green technology, and they're wonderful, and we fully support lots of installation of solar panels. Here in Massachusetts, there's lots of new solar panels being put up everywhere. But there mm-hmm. is this application. It turns out that in Japan and in a few other places, so there have been arrays. Now, everyone's seen an array of solar panels. You drive down the Mass Pike, you see a whole bunch of solar panels by the side of the road, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's this idea of putting an array of solar panels on buoys and floating them in a pond, right?
Mm-hmm.
And because why? Well, there's no trees around. The space is not necessarily claimed. You know, you could put it off the airport in Kansai, over in Osaka, right? They got lots mm-hmm. of water floating around there. It's great. But the really cool idea is that by putting these floating solar panels on lakes in the American West, say Lake Havasu, or these lakes that are drying out,
mm-hmm.
it prevents evaporation. Right?
Yes.
The sun hits the solar panel and makes electricity, and it does not make water vapor out of the limited amount of water that's left. So
exactly.
It's a good idea. I mean, do you think so? Do you agree?
The term is photovoltaic is the apparent term that they've come up with. And you're right that it is a way to sort of help drought-stricken areas of the United States to use this technology, and basically goes to show you again, you know, the power of innovation. Who would have thought this? Who would have thought about this even 10 years ago or 5 years ago? But as they say, the future is now.
Right, that's right. No, I think it's a great idea. I just think it's cute. There's so many. And for me, it's the whole question is that when the human creativity and ingenuity gets focused on how to make energy in these ways, there will be many, many synergies and lots of good things that happen, right? Once mm-hmm. we get our proverbial act together, it's all going to be good.
Do you remember the old GTE slogan, the power is on? I guess we can say the clean power is on.
The clean power is on now. So, DR, we'll leave it there. We'll tell our listeners that they are able to pick up the links to most of what we talked about on the blog that's associated with the podcast. It'll be at massclimateaction.net/blog. Please check it out. Please donate to MCAN when you're there. You can find the podcast on our Facebook page. That's /massclimateaction. Please share us with all your friends. You can click through and listen to it yourself, and then let your friends know about our podcast. You can listen to us directly on your smartphone using Stitcher or TuneIn Radio, and of course you can find us on iTunes by simply searching for Massachusetts Climate Action. So, DR, we're going to close the way we always close, by saying that because we recognize the necessity of personal accountability for our actions, because we accept responsibility for building a durable future, because we believe it's our patriotic duty as citizens to speak out, we must insist the United States put a price on carbon. So thank you, DR, for being here.
Thanks.
Thanks to everyone for listening. We'll talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks for being with us. And until next time, be green.
Very cool.